Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's Know Your Foe episode. Today, we're fortunate enough to have Bobby Skinner join us to tell us everything about the New York Giants. Bobby, how you doing?
I'm doing as good as you can for covering a team that's 2-11, a bottom five run defense, and about to face Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. But other than that, I'm doing well, Ken. Glad to jump back on with you.
All right. Some nice positive things about the Giants this year. Dexter Lawrence off to a huge start. Early in the season, obviously, injuries have slowed him down somewhat. But also the Giants now potentially in line to get the number one draft picks. I believe Oakland has it on strength of schedule currently, but that could change.
Yeah, it's going to go down to the wire because you don't really see the wins on either team's schedule. So it probably will come down to strength of schedule. But I really think it is – the Giants probably will not win another game for the rest of the season. The Raiders, I can see, you know, maybe sneaking one out. But, yeah, they're I think they're locked into one of the top two picks at bare minimum.
All right. Not a great draft, I'm told, for some important positions like quarterback and left tackle. Is there enough there, though, for the Giants to find a player that can really help them?
So once the season's over is when I really dive into the college players, so I can have some time. But every year during the bye week, I do a midseason mock draft, and I'll casually watch the players. And I watched Cam Ward, and I'm like, this is fun, right? This is playmaking. This is aggression. You also see some crazy reckless throwing all across the field, you know, backwards, and just a lot of recklessness in there. And then his stuff at Wazoo, you saw more of that in there. So you like that. Shador, I haven't had a chance to really look at much, but I think the Giants right now, if they keep this current front office, they keep Joe Shane as their GM and Brian Daboll as their head coach, unfortunately, they are in a position where they will take a quarterback no matter what. Like it's been set in stone. That's been their plea to ownership, is they will take a quarterback. Even if they don't think that quarterback, you know, last year they passed up on McCarthy, Penix, and Nix. I think this year, if one of those three players was looking at them in the face, they would pull the trigger on that. So I think their process is going to fall a little bit for job security. So right now, if Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are back, we'll look at all the top players in the draft who aren't quarterback, but in reality, we'll be wasting our time because we know that it will be a quarterback, Shador Sanders or Cam Ward.
Middle of the pack in terms of salary cap for next year, about 57,000. I didn't look at that in an effective terms because I don't remember how many players the Giants have. Looks like about 40 players under contract. It's actually pretty high, a reasonable number anyway, but pretty good spot on the salary cap thing. Maybe not as where you'd expect with the Giants' current quarterback situation.
Yeah, and you know, Daniel Jones will be eating $20 million of that of dead cap. So they're in a position where they'll have money to spend. They should be, but they don't have, like you said, they don't have, you know, go do whatever you want type of money for agency, which honestly I'm a little happy about with a GM on the hot seat. I would worry if they had a lot of cap space that there'd be a lot of sacrificing the future for short-term results. So, yeah, this offseason, you know, there's maybe positions, the only player that they have that, you know, can hit the open market that could command any money is Darius Slayton, who is their second wide receiver after Malik Nabers. Their slot receiver, Wandale Robinson, you know, a second-round pick. He'll be entering year four. So they may make a decision to whether it's invest in that position in the draft with a mid-round pick or somebody in free agency. I would like to keep Darius Slayton. The Giants don't have any players coming up that deserve contracts in the very new future. And down the line, there's nothing that's really pressing. So Darius Slayton is somebody that I would hope they keep and then look to plug, get holes in other spots.
Okay, so the Ravens have a number of players coming out of year three who they I'd really like them to try and sign early and get not. But you just mentioned Wandale Moore might be one. Do they have anybody else who's like kind of a, maybe a mid-range player coming out of year three to get at a bargain contract?
Wandale Robinson would be the one where I could see something happening. But at the same time, he is a one percentile size slot wide receiver. We've seen Richie James produce in that role in this offense. I think that his talent is replaceable. So is he going to be willing to jump at an offer the Giants would offer? The only other one would be Kayvon Thibodeau, who will be entering his fourth year. I expect him to pick up his fifth year option, but he's been a bit underwhelming. So I don't see either side getting to a deal. It's not where you have the slam dunk great player where you just sign him after year three, give him the big contract, and you hope it looks better down the road. I don't see a middle ground happening after this year three. I just expect a standard fifth year option picked up. Let's revisit this after the year, and hopefully you grow into something we're willing to pay that big money, or that you get into tougher conversations of maybe moving off that piece or letting hit the open market.
All right, outstanding. Let's move to the offense here. We thought Drew Lock was going to start that game. We hear today that's not the case. Tell us about DeVito and what he brings to the table.
What DeVito brings is lack of putting the ball in bad spots. With that also becomes lack of running your quick game very well, right? You know, was hoping that would part of his game would improve a bit. And his only showing this year was against Todd Bowles, which will throw a lot at you, right? The Bucs defense isn't great, but they will throw a lot at you. So maybe the Ravens will be a little different. But even a simple choice route that's right in front of him, line of vision, the read is that throw it. He doesn't throw it. He scrambles and throws the ball away. So what you'll see with him is he takes a lot of sacks, but he doesn't turn over the ball. So if he doesn't see it clearly, like clear as day, he's going to look to try and scramble and get outside the pocket and then make a play with his arm or legs in that way.
Okay, so we've had an issue with Jackson, and Baltimore is not a really good on-schedule thrower, meaning he doesn't throw a lot of balls before the break. He likes to see the break, then measure it up and throw it. Probably Jackson's biggest weakness of a quarterback with not too many. But DeVito, does he need to see the break to throw, or does he throw a good back shoulder ball and other things that give receivers a chance?
If he's got man coverage, he will throw with some decent anticipation. It's just when you get into, you know, even some not even disguised looks, just some basic zone coverages where if he doesn't trust the spacing, you know, you'd be running a stick concept and it's there, it's, you know, pull the trigger, but he doesn't trust the spacing as much as he should. And he won't pull the trigger, and he'll either take a sack or look to scramble and make a play with his legs, whether that's extending for a throw or extending to run. So that's what you see out of him. I think the strengths you saw with him last year was when teams, you know, the Giants had Saquon Barkley in that run, so it'll be, you know, maybe the Ravens don't do it the same way, is teams schemed up against the run when Tommy DeVito went in, right? Throwing run blitzes, heavier personnel, linebackers flowing heavy, and they got play action, they got guys open. And DeVito was able to pull, to pull the trigger on that. So, but in reality, DeVito is a third string quarterback. He's not very good. So you can have some exciting moments, and he had the fanfare last year. But in the reality is he was a, you know, bottom of the league quarterback who takes, you know, has one of the highest sack rates in NFL history. Can give you a big play or two, but in reality, just keeps you off schedule.
What's his sack rate like, by the way?
I think it's like 18-20% for his career. Like that's
outrageous.
Yeah, Randall, it's rough.
Randall Cunningham in his rookie year, 25%. So, which is just to me is mind-boggling. But okay, let's talk about the rest of the wide receiver core. You mentioned a couple of them in talking about Slayton and Robinson. Take us through who's left.
So, Malik Nabers is their guy right now. He's obviously the star of the sixth overall pick in this draft. They ask him to do everything, attack all three levels of the field, every route tree, whether it's throwing, they'll throw back shoulders 30 yards down the field. They'll have him run your standard choice route. They design things for him. If they're running play action, a lot of the times it's trying to get Malik Nabers the ball over the middle or on the sidelines. That's their main target. Darius Slayton, since Daniel Jones has left, his role has been reduced because of lack of timing with, you know, Drew Lock and Tommy DeVito. And I mentioned just not able to run the quick game and the spacing stuff. you'll get an occasional shot. And he's, you know, not the best at bringing those down, but he's got the speed to separate. Wandale Robinson is the guy that they overfeed from the slot. Again, 5'8". I think he has the shortest arms in combine history. They run him on, you know, 20 choice routes per game. No, whatever different concepts, he is running a 5-yard juke route. Oh, like that's where he's getting his almost all of his production from. I think he has the lowest yards per catch in the NFL this year and one of the highest target rates.
Okay. All right. So want to move on and talk about the tight ends then some?
Yeah, so they had a rookie, Theo Johnson, who, you know, 6'5", 6'6", can move. We're starting to stretch the field vertically. You know, the Brian Daboll likes to run 4 verticals quite a bit. And then, you know, we'll, if the DBs are sitting on it, they'll, you know, they'll have the outside receivers convert those into curl routes. And they were starting to hit the seams quite a bit with Theo Johnson, and then he got injured. So right now, Chris Manhertz, who's been around the league forever and I think has like 8 catches in his entire career, they use him a ton. But now it's mostly in 12 personnel, but they use him a ton. He's a real deal blocker, but he offers you absolutely nothing in the receiving game. Daniel Bellinger, who I think caught the touchdown, you know, the final touchdown or 2-point conversion in that last, you know, Giants-Ravens game, he is kind of your typical, can run the routes between 0 to 10 yards, you know, sit routes over the middle. You know, if you're playing soft, he'll catch what's underneath. And a solid inline blocker, not very good, but they like to use him kind of as their H-back role. They'll move him around, you know, they'll run split zone with him, put him, you know, shift him into that fullback role and use him as a lead blocker. They don't do that a ton, and you know, less than they've done in previous years, but if they run counter, he'll be, you know, the second guy on that as the lead blocker. So this is, last week was the first game without their rookie Theo Johnson. So we saw a little bit of that, but their tight ends are not very much involved in the passing game at all.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Take us to the offensive line from left to right, if you would.
Well, it's banged up right now. You know, Andrew Thomas is out for the season. Evan Neal looks like he's going to miss this game, who has been a really bad player anyways. Not sure if John Michael Schmitz will be starting at center. They are working much better together as a unit, though, this year. You know, the offensive line has been the Giants' biggest issue for the past 10 years since their Super Bowl 46 run. And it wasn't just guys losing their one-on-ones, but just missing on stunts, blitz pickups, getting free rushers, guys not working well together. Their new offensive line coach has them working together very well. They're not messing up assignments. If you try and throw simulated pressures, or, you know, you're really not going to get much success against them. So they at least have done halfway decent enough pass protection wise. Now their tackles are going to struggle, right? The edge rushers are going to have the advantage there, but the Giants have done a pretty decent job of not putting those guys in situations where they're reliant on, you know, when they had your Andrew Thomas, they did. But in the run game, they're not a good zone running team, or at least outside zone, wide zone. They just don't have the athleticism. What they do run well is duo, and they're pretty good at inside zone. They don't really have the guys to run a lot of power or counter, but duo and inside zone is their bread and butter.
Do they do a, you know, an inside motion duo with a larger tight end to try and set that up, or do they just go two for one with two offensive linemen on a defensive line?
So they have that Chris Manhertz, the blocking tight end, who they'll keep on the backside of it, and they, for a while, they were almost exclusively running it against even boxes, and teams would, you know, put that plus one defender in there. Now when they get to it, if they want to run it against a plus one box, stack box, they will insert a wide receiver and then have him block, you know, seal a linebacker. But they've run a good about that. But since Tyrone Tracy, the rookie running back, has been in the lineup, their inside zone has gotten a lot better. Like, he reads the linebackers very well. He presses. He's patient. And they do a good job of getting enough movement when they're not really, you know, having to rely on their athleticism. Again, wide zone, outside zone, they just don't find success because their interior guys consistently get, you know, pressed into the backfield. But inside zone and duo is their bread and butter as a run game. It's not the run game you write home about, but they have found success with it this year.
How have they dealt with like behemoth defensive linemen? Because the Ravens have a pair of those. Michael Pierce, in theory, is going to be back for this week. He's been a full practice participant now for two straight days. Actually, I believe it's three straight days, and he's eligible to come off. And then they have Travis Jones already, who hopefully after a bye week is more healthy. Have they done a good job against the larger defensive linemen?
Run blocking wise, absolutely. That's, I think they've had some success there again in the run game. Pass protection wise, they don't put their center, John Michael Schmitz, in one-on-one situations too often, but he has struggled with the guys who are stronger. You know, it's the quicker guys where he does a fairly good job because he's got good hand usage, but he doesn't really have the strength to match some of those guys. You know, even like Mozzie Smith, a guy who came out of the draft. Mm-hmm. A couple of years ago, the Cowboys draft in the first round. He's been very bad. His successful games have been against the Giants because he's kind of got that hand strength and that's it. So the guys who have that strong upper body hand strength, they've been able to get their wins. But they've, on the interior, it's nothing you write home about. You know, you don't have any Pro Bowlers. You don't have guys that are going to put together highlight films of moving defensive linemen or getting out in space. But I think they've done a very good job working together, right? In the run game, they're going to take care. They're going to make sure they take care of the first level before they get to the second level. And pass protection, they're working together. If a guy loses, there's usually, you know, they're usually sliding and have that other guy there to help. So they've done no Pro Bowlers, no All Pros, or any guys that are even capable of that. But they do, for the first time in a while, the Giants' offensive line works together as a unit very well.
Okay, and that's surprising since they haven't had all that much time together, right? Because Andrew Thomas is missing a game here, and Evan Neal has missed time. I mean, is that a little surprising?
Here's the thing is, this is – the interior guys have stayed together. John Michael Schmitz, okay, who was an older rookie, he's got the mental part of the game down very well. John Runyon, who's, you know, been a four-year starter for Green Bay. Greg Van Roten, who's been a journeyman. Like, they have – Jermaine Illuminor, who was at right tackle and then moved to left tackle. Now, two of those guys worked with the Giants offensive line coach with the Raiders last year. But they have stayed together on the interior. Now, that may change this week. I think John Runyon, he did not practice on Tuesday. John Michael Schmitz, the center, was limited. They'll see if he's practiced. So you may be getting the first look at the Giants interior offensive line. That, you know, where they've missed a snap, because those three guys have not missed a snap all year until this most recent game.
All right, very good. Let's take it to running back now. They line up with a fullback at all?
Very, very rarely. Like I said, Daniel Bellinger, their tight end, they'll shift him into that role, but it's very rare. Now, they'll play with 12, you know, a good amount of 12 personnel. And you know, that's where they'll run duo out of that, run inside zone. When they do try and get some, you know, outside zone, they'll run it out of there. They like to get their play action out of there. But they don't play with a fullback very much. Almost never. Maybe in some goal line packages they'll use that. And then with the tailback, Tyrone Tracy has been a lone bright spot for the Giants. He's quick, good vision. One cut and go. He can, and I'm surprised because he's new to the position. He was a wide receiver for the most of his career in college at Iowa and then Purdue. He's been able to handle that role pretty well. He's been able to handle that role pretty well. He's got the, you know, explosive plays that have, you know, helped, you know, bump up his yards per carry. But the Giants, despite the fact that they've not been in very many advantage run situations, they are a top half of the league when it comes to rushing. And Tyrone Tracy is putting together about 70 to 80 yards per game. Like, he's been able to run that inside zone. And like I said, they're not getting a lot of stuff out on the corners because of the lack of athleticism from the interior guys. So Tyrone Tracy's been – him and Malik Nabers, the other rookie, have been basically the lone really bright spots for the Giants offense.
It looks like Devin Singletary has a fairly high missed tackle rate. Still not very high on him, obviously, because you didn't mention him there. But what can you tell us about his current thing? We're familiar with him from
the role has been reduced. Yeah, his role has been reduced since he lost the starting job to Tyrone Tracy. Like you said, he has those one cut and go make you miss type of plays. You know, make you miss in a phone booth. But he's had a very, very limited role since Tyrone Tracy took the starting job. He also has a fumble problem, which didn't help. Now, Tyrone Tracy has had issues with that too. Mm-hmm. But they haven't given him more than, you know, 3 to 6 carries in a game since he lost that starting role. But he's a solid running back too for them, though, if they need. He just doesn't have the same speed to really press and, you know, get vertical and you know, manipulate linebackers the way Tyrone Tracy does.
All right, the Ravens have, we think, addressed some of their problems in pass coverage over the last several weeks. They've got a solid 4-corner dime, which is very unusual for the NFL these days to not be a three-safety, three-corner dime. But they've also, by moving Kyle Hamilton to the back end, which is a fairly substantial sacrifice of playmaking, they become better there. Where the problem still remains is at inside linebacker in terms of pass coverage. How might the Giants take advantage of that?
So one of the Giants' plays that they like to spam is they'll mostly run it out of empty.
All right, we've lost Bobby here for a second here. I'm sure he'll be back in a moment. This is happens occasionally on the show. But just talking about the Ravens' inside linebacker coverage issues that have occurred, it's interesting. You probably heard me say on other shows, the competition that now seems to exist between Simpson and Board for playing time. And normally you would pick one of those. In the past, it was Board who would come in on third down. And there you go, Bobby. I'll just finish what I'm talking about and then we'll get right back to that question. Normally it'd be Board that. Who would come in on third down and be a coverage linebacker that you'd bring in those situations. In fact, he played some Mike with a dime next to him. That's not been the case this year. The Simpson and Board thing is a series by series competition for playing time. So it'd be interesting to see what we see this week at that Will spot, whether we see a continued rotation by series or whether either of them develops some specialized role. So getting back to the question, Bobby, you were just starting to mention a particular concept that the Giants use to attack inside linebackers.
Yeah, they one of their favorite concepts, and they run it a lot, is they'll get an empty, and it's wide Jukos or shock, where you'll have a 3-by-2, like I said, mostly out of empty. On the front side, you'll have usually your back. He'll run a quick 5-yard hitch, a slot fade, and then they'll use the tight end in that time. And then they'll put Wandale Robinson. Sometimes they'll put a tight end. Sometimes they'll put a player like Malik Nabers or Darius Slayton. And then they'll put Wandale Robinson on a choice juke route where it's, you know, sit, pivot, you know, return. And then on the backside, they'll tag a lot of stuff. That's sometimes where they'll look to get Malik Nabers open on, you know, a dig and run, you know, like a pivot with the dig around it and attack zone coverages. But they'll make the linebackers cover Wandale Robinson. And that's, you know, something I've talked about, right? So most of the times you have to bracket that. Or Wandale Robinson is going to get those quick, easy passes over and over again. So you'll, you know, likely, you know, play some type of zone, bracket it with your nickel corner and your strong side linebacker. And when they do that, well, then they'll get to the backside of whatever concept the backside they'll have of that. And like I said, run a wrap concept. They can run a go with a choice and go on the outside with a choice and the number two on the backside of it. So just kind of making those, you know, with not just linebackers one-on-one, but make you play coverage, you know, pick a side that you're going to take something away from them. And they really, really like to do that. They'll also get into under center 12 personnel play action. Well, they'll run a form of dagger where they'll have, you know, 2-by-2 and 12 personnel. They'll motion into 3-by-1. And they'll use, you know, the inside receiver on a clear vertical and then put Malik Nabers on a dig over the middle in that play action and look to get that past the linebacker's ears in that way. They get to that in different ways, right? They like your typical play action Yankee with the post and the over out of 12 personnel. Mm-hmm. So those are the main ways. Now, they're dead last in scoring. So I can't tell you all these great ways that they challenge linebackers, but if there was three, those would be the three ways where they've, I think they found success against linebackers over the middle.
Okay. No, I think that's very good. Let's swap over to the defense now and talk a little bit. I always like to start with this in terms of how the team typically lines up on third down and medium or longer. Do they go to a dime? Are they committed nickel? How do they line up in those situations?
They'll mostly go to nickel. Sometimes they'll do a big dime and use Isaiah Simmons out there, who's like, you know, a linebacker safety hybrid, but mostly nickel. And they will stunt the front, right? They have this UDFA Elijah Chapman at his SMU. He's 6 foot. They'd like to stunt, right? Because you know that they know that Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau will probably get chip help on those downs. So they'll just stunt. And they play from split safety. They, over two-thirds of the time, it is cover three or it is cover one. And they run those from, you know, split safety looks mostly. Tyler Newbin, who was just put on IR, would usually be the one who would either come cover the flats, the curl hook zone, or would play, you know, the tight end in man coverage or play the robber role in cover one. But that's the majority of it. They don't run a ton of quarters and or cover two. They've thrown a little bit in there as they've gotten really banged up in the secondary the last couple of weeks. But like I said, I chart the coverages every week, and there hasn't been a single one where cover one and cover three weren't the predominant coverages.
Okay. All right, very good. Let's talk about the defensive line, start there. I'm always interested to hear whether other teams are really rotational, depth, snap management based. That's true, I think, in a lot of the league, and certainly true for the Ravens. But it's less true this year. The Ravens are looking more like the Steelers in terms of overplaying their key guys more. How do the Giants fit?
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential. But it's tough to find one that will last through the season. That's why the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. Slate Magazine called it the greatest hoodie ever made. And from cotton to zipper, it's made right here in the USA. With timeless style, heavyweight fleece, a double-lined hood, and reinforced elbow patches, you can depend on it for years to come. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code CLASSIC24.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Into that spectrum.
They play their guys, right? Kayvon Thibodeau, Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence. Now, Dexter Lawrence is injured. He's out for the season. Missed this last game. So now, and their second defensive tackle and their third defensive tackle are injured. Those guys may be back, but they're nothing to write home about. Raheem Nunez, Rochez, and DJ Davidson, a six-round pick from a couple years ago. So they've had to elevate guys from practice squad, and, you know, scrape the bottom of the barrel. So they have used a strong rotation with those defensive tackles. Only a one-game sample size against the New Orleans Saints, but a strong rotation on the interior. And then Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau are getting the large majority of the snaps out on the edge, especially Azeez Ojulari has been injured. So they have a couple of, you know, special teamers. So on the edges, those guys are playing the large majority of the snaps. On the defensive tackle group, you're going to get a heavy rotation in this matchup. You're muted.
Burns Ken. Has had it. I got it. It happens once per show. So
it happens to me like three times per show. Yeah.
So Burns having a terrific season as a pass rusher in general. The Ravens have chipped a lot to help their tackles. But in particular, at right tackle, they had a lot of problems with Roger Rosengarten needing help. Stanley's been pretty good on the left side. I wouldn't say he's at the top of the league like he was, you know, 5 years ago. But which side does Burns normally line up on for starters and Thibodeau?
With Kit Thibodeau in the lineup, Burns is mostly lining up on the left tackle. Again, they switch sides. It's not a 50-50 split, but they do switch sides. And then Kayvon Thibodeau over the right tackle. When Kayvon was injured, they actually put Burns over the right tackle large majority, and they've went back to Burns on the left tackle. So that's what you're going to get there. And I think especially with the Giants, and I know the Ravens, you know, run a good 12 personnel play action. What their ends have done, and I think as the Giants are bad and guys are a little want to get some sack numbers as the season goes on, you can't guess at all that the backside defensive end is going to chase the run and play the hip of the backside tackle. They're going to get upfield and try and get their sacks. Going to be a little bit harder when you're playing Lamar Jackson versus Derek Carr. But like both of them had sacks on Derek Carr that exact same way last week. So you'll get them chasing upfield. Again, both have the freedom to work outside in. There's not a premium put on containing the quarterback. Again, something that could change this week with Lamar being the quarterback. But they give those guys the freedom to go. And then, like I mentioned before, on third down, you're going to get the front stunted. It's hard to say what they'll do against Lamar because he's just one of a kind to prepare for. But they know that those guys are the strength of the defense, and they go as they go, and they let them do what they need to get at the quarterback.
Are you using the spy at all on other mobile quarterbacks?
I mean, not like a true spy, but they'll just have that middle field. I mean, they play cover three, so you're going to have those middle field defenders, but they play a ton of cover one, right? And most of the time it's, you know, they'll have split field safety and they bring the safety down in the middle of the field or use, you know, one of their linebackers. So not a true spy, but yeah, they most of the times they have a middle field defender free.
So one of the things that have been very successful against Lamar, unfortunately, within the division are the quick trigger downhill guys. So the rule, and I know you know this, Bobby, I'm not trying to tell you, but other listeners, the rule is when the quarterback leaves the pocket that the middle zone defender on that side of the field immediately goes towards the quarterback, rushes the quarterback immediately. And if it's a single in the middle, then it's that guy. If it's double, if you have four underneath, then it's the guy on that side. But in division, they've been amazingly quick triggered about that. So Lamar steps towards the outside. That person is rushing downhill to try and get after him. Do the Giants have that kind of a look in terms of getting after quarterbacks? Is there anybody else in the division maybe that or in the NFC that fits that mold?
With Jade, now that you remind me, with Jaden Daniels, they did use a little more of a spy, and they did do that. Now they threw some more blitz looks at him, and Jaden's not the quarterback that Lamar is yet. But they did. Now they struggled with that too. They struggled to bring him down. But yeah, like you said, with that, like if it's the middle field defender or if it's, you know, the underneath in a zone coverage, yeah, they do have that quick trigger to go after the quarterback in those plays.
All right, great. Take us through the linebackers.
So Bobby Okereke, who's their best linebacker, is injured. They're going to get downhill. Micah McFadden, a young player in his third year as a fifth rounder out of Indiana, he plays aggressive, right? He'll look to slip a block underneath, but since the Giants, you know, Okereke's went down, he's kind of taken over that role. He had five tackles for a loss in this most recent game against the Saints. Now, I will say the Giants' run defense has been bad, and I think the Saints decided that they were going to line up in 22 personnel and just declared that they're going to run the ball, and the Giants matched that with a true 3-4, ran some run blitzes. So, but Micah McFadden, he's getting downhill. Now, he struggles in coverage. You know, last year with Wink Martindale, he was taken off of the field on third down almost every time for Isaiah Simmons. They haven't done that much for him, but he just does struggle in zone coverages. They'll never really put him in a man coverage look, except for maybe, you know, a back on a, you know, a check and release or a flare route. And then with Okereke down, they played their rookie Darius Mwasau, a fairly strong linebacker, but he's just kind of slow to the ball. He's slow to the ball, a huge disadvantage in coverage. So that's become a struggle point. Even Bobby Okereke hadn't played great this year. But yeah, so McFadden's the get downhill, create tackles for a loss type of linebacker. Where Darius Mwasau, the sixth rounder, I can't really tell you the advantage that he brings. You run duo inside zone at him. He can take on a block, but that's about it.
I'm looking at the overall missed tackle rate for this team. Looks to be about 13.6%, which is a little high, but not terribly high.
They're DBs. The DBs can't tackle. You know, whether it's their first round pick, Deontay Banks, Cordell Flott is a starter for them at 160 pounds. Now, Drew Phillips, a rookie corner out of Kentucky, they played him in the nickel, who I think he's going to be out in this game, but not sure yet. He's tough. He's physical. Now, you get him out in the open field, he's aggressive, and he'll miss a tackle here and there. But within the confines of the box, he's physical. He'll get in your chest, and he'll make a good amount of tackles for loss. But all of the other DBs have greatly struggled tackling. It's been a huge issue for the Giants. You look at a lot of their bottom five run defense. You look at all their big runs, and the large majority of it is DBs missing tackles. On outside type of runs, they will dip inside and give up the outside corner and lead to those big runs. So the Giants' defensive tackle group outside of Dexter Lawrence hasn't been very good. Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau really aren't great run defenders. But if you're looking to get big runs on the Giants, make their DBs play the run, because it's been a huge issue for them all year.
Okay, so go off tackle. Don't go between the tackles.
Yeah, if you want to go in between the tackles, I would say do it from light personnel, right? When you get in heavy personnel, that's when the Giants will match you. You know, they'll get in a 3-4. If they're in nickel personnel, they will take an edge, or, you know, or like in a 5-2 front, they'll take an edge and they'll drop them back and run like a 4-3 stack. I don't really love that, but they do that. Mm-hmm. When you get in 11 personnel and run out of there, they like to play from split field safety. They like to play from split field safety. And with Dexter Lawrence out, you kind of have no good run defenders mm-hmm. on that front. So you're going to make their linebackers make plays and make their DBs make plays. And it just has not happened this year.
That is the one thing I'll say. Lamar Jackson has been exceptional in terms of his growth this year, is taking what's given. So he comes to the line of scrimmage, surveys the field, walks around a lot. They've been much better getting the line of scrimmage quickly, has done a good job of trying to figure out checking to run or pass appropriately, largely, I think, based on the number in the box. I mean, it just seems like, you know, checking to a run in a light box is something they've done a lot this year.
Yeah, and you'll have those. Now, again, as guys have got injured, they've went to the stack boxes a little more, where early season it was about a 65 to 70% light box. Like now they're at about 55-45% over the last month. So not as much, but you're going to get your fair share of light boxes, where, you know, with Wink Martindale the last 2 years, the Giants played from stack boxes almost exclusively.
All right. We did love Wink. Really sorry to see him leave the Ravens when he did, but the Ravens got a good defensive coordinator afterwards. Now they're not so sure anymore. Wink Martindale seems like takes so much abuse from Ravens fans, basically, for the aggressive style he played, and yet they're still unhappy with a real passive pass rush style that we have in place now.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you guys had number one defenses with him too out of the mm-hmm. you know, more three previous years. I know you guys got banged up and struggled that final year, but you guys also got hurt. Like, you lost your top three defensive coaches with McDonald, Weaver sure. went to Miami, and Denard Wilson, who the Giants were trying to make their defensive coordinator, going to Tennessee. Who I really liked his. It's hard to judge position coaches, but I just loved his resume of what he did with the Eagles, and then you guys. Now Wink was definitely more prone to the big game given up. You know, you'd have the Cowboys put up 42 points, where with Shane Bowen as the Giants defense coordinator, the highest any team has scored is 30, but teams are consistently getting to that 20 benchmark as well, where Wink Martindale would have those games, create the turnovers, and just really force it. I mean, you know, like, it just forced you to get the ball out quick. You'd have the lowest completion percentage in the NFL against you. You know, edges aren't going to get the most sacks in the world, but really made it hard to prepare for.
Yeah, it definitely, he's probably the third best defensive coordinator in Ravens history. Actually, it might be fourth best, because McDonald was really special in his 1 year as the Triple Crown defense. But yeah, I didn't think it was a great thing for the Ravens in any way, shape, or form when Wink left, and I really do believe it was probably a mutual agreement. He was signed for one more year, and he didn't have to leave, but they mutually agreed that he didn't want to coach on the final year, and the Ravens were amenable to letting him go because they didn't want to sign him longer term.
Yeah, Wink was and Brian Daboll mutually agreed in a lot more confrontational way. I don't know how much you kept up with that story, but one of the biggest drama pieces in the NFL, I thought, last year was the fact that Brian Daboll and Wink Martindale hated each other's guts, got through the season, and Wink Martindale basically had been leaking to the media about this, right? So everyone just assumed it was going to be over, even though Wink did a good job coaching last year. The numbers don't show up, but the film did. The eye test did. And they have their end-of-season press conference Monday after the season, 8 a.m. That never happens that early. 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. saying, we expect Wink Martindale to be back. They fire the Wilkins brothers later in the day. Wink blows up, you know, and says, you know, I quit. And then there's 3 days where Wink hasn't officially resigned because he wants to get his money. And, you know, just one of the bigger, more dramatic weeks in Giants history was the no one knew where Wink was for a couple days. It was very dramatic. It sucked because I like Wink Martindale as a defense coordinator. I wish he still was the Giants defensive coordinator. But it also kind of showed some of the warts with this regime as well.
All right. Yeah, it is. Sometimes we don't appreciate how good we have it. But one of the things you really highlighted it with the assistant coaches who left, the positional coaches, the Ravens completely need to rebuild that for next year. It's like got to be the 2025 project. How happy are you in a relative sense with the Giants positional coaches and how they're set up for succession?
Positional coaches are always tough to judge. I think offensive line is the one. They fired their offensive line coach last year, Bobby Johnson, who had been with Brian Daboll for, you know, back in Buffalo. Carm Brasillo, who comes from the Dante Scarnecchia tree and was with Josh McDaniels in Las Vegas, came over. He's done a really good job. He's put a lot more focus on taking care of the first level in the run game. Like I said, part of it is the veteran players they added, but you don't see the mental mistakes that are there. And you see them working together one unit as pass protectors. Other than that, it's hard to see the results. Jerome Henderson, their DB coach, was viewed in a positive light for a while because he had done his claim to fame was we had some bad second corners who never really burned the Giants, where we had seen in previous years where those guys would be target points for the offense. They'd pinpoint him and go after them all. That hasn't happened. But they've also drafted some corners highly, Deontay Banks, Cordell Flaught, and they just have not developed into those good players. So those are the positions. And the other one, Dre Patterson, who's been around the NFL for a long time, was with the Vikings. He's helped unlock Dexter Lawrence, put him over the nose, over the center, which he didn't do much early in his career. He's known. Outside of that, I don't really have much to tell you on what these position coaches are doing well or badly individually.
Now I don't know what your situation is, but do you attend the Giants practices during camp or during the regular season?
Yeah, we go to every single training camp practice. We don't get to see them in season. Okay. What I have heard is there's a lack of detail, which may come from the head down of Brian Daboll. You know, for one example, I was talking to somebody who, you know, knows some of the receivers. Whenever they drop a ball in practice, there's no addressing. It's just like, it's the NFL, catch the ball. Right? There's no, you know, okay, how did you bring that ball? There's stuff like that where they just expect the guys to be a pro and not that attention to detail with some of the defender, like the, you know, the DB tackling technique is awful, right? They just had a young corner, Trey Hawkins, literally break his back last week because he doesn't know how to tackle. You know, he just ducks his head and puts his shoulders down and tries to make a big hit. And he broke his back on a tackle doing that. So And we saw, we don't see the attention to detail that we saw with the past regime with Joe Judge, who came from New England, and you know how they are. Everything is about the details and the fundamentals. So it's been kind of a stark contrast between the two.
All right. All right, very good. Well, take us to the secondary to walk us through who the Giants have back there.
I don't know, because they've had about 10 different injuries in the last 2 weeks. You know, their starters got injured, and now their backups got injured. I think they have three brand new players on the team this week. But you're going to get Adoree Jackson, who's been in the league a while, been a really good player for the Giants. He's not the same player he once was, but he's a solid corner. You put him in man coverage, he's not going to get interceptions or get his hands on the football, but he's not going to get smoked either. Can run your basic zone coverages that they run, you know, mostly being cover three. Outside of that, I mean, this is a week for the Ravens wide receivers to have a game. Their best safety, Tyler Newbin, just got put on IR. Their backup outside corner just got put on IR. Their starting nickel corner this game was just signed from the practice squad, and Greg Stroman. So, to be honest with you, outside of Adoree Jackson and Jason Pinnock, who plays the deep safety most part, and where he's kind of one of those deep safeties who's athletic, Ken, and just sits in the middle of the field for the most part, right? Not making very many instinctual plays, just kind of sitting in the middle of the field, and you bring him down towards the line of scrimmage every once in a while, he'll make a play. But this is a week for the Ravens wide receivers to have a game, because the Giants are down to third and fourth string guys.
Okay. Now, the question I have, the guy I really loved in the draft the same year that Patrick Queen was drafted was Xavier McKinney. And I really wanted the Ravens to take him instead of Queen at that exact spot. Now, Patrick Queen, he was okay, but I would say took too long to develop for the Ravens. Xavier McKinney, fantastic player. Can't believe the Giants let him get away. What happened?
There was questions of him as a leader. You know, like, so 2 years ago on their bye week, he was on vacation in Mexico and was on an ATV, rolled over, and messed up his hand pretty bad. He missed about 5-6 weeks, came back for the playoffs. And last year was a really good player and was vocal about some things, right? Like some of the beef was between him and Wink. And then, you know, Brian Daboll doesn't really, you know, discipline players. I think the Giants GM just doesn't value paying the safety that much in Xavier McKinney, which I can understand that thought process. But the issue with me is the Giants don't need to be making tough decisions with their young homegrown players, because they don't have a bunch to sign. With Daniel Jones getting off the books, you don't have a quarterback contract that you have to keep reworking all the time, so you have to make these decisions. The way they viewed it is, we're not going to re-sign Xavier McKinney, and we're going to trade for Brian Burns. We're going to use $18 million of that $30 million that for Brian Burns' contract by letting Xavier McKinney walk. When in reality, I think what they should have done is do the Brian Burns trade. You get a guy like Brian Burns for a second and fifth round pick, you do it. Yeah, is it a bit of an overpay? Sure, but that's just the NFL when it comes to those guys. And then move some money around to keep Xavier McKinney. Because like you asked in the beginning, what contracts do they have coming up? The only unrestricted free agent they have this year who will get more than a $2 million deal is Darius Slayton, who they may not bring back. The year three guys, you have Kayvon Thibodeau, who will have his fifth-year option picked up. Evan Neal won't have his fifth-year option picked up. Mm-hmm. Wandale Robinson, if they were going to sacrifice a player, you know, for cap space, he's somebody that I'd be more than willing to, because I think his production is replaceable. We just did a mailbag show yesterday, Ken, where it's like, what's your biggest regret for the Giants offseason? And mine was not figuring out a way to keep Xavier McKinney here, because he was 24 years old, a young, top of his position player. And I know some people don't value safety that high. I do. You know, and I see what the Ravens do. I think it's having two good safeties or even three good safeties is becoming undervalued. Like, it allows you to do so many things different defensively. You know, Patrick Graham was the Giants defensive coordinator before Wink Martindale. And the Giants had a trio of McKinney, who hadn't blossomed into what he was, but had the signs of a good player, Jabril Peppers, and Logan Ryan. And they did so many good things with those three safeties, right? Like, they moved them, you know, but all of them were interchangeable between deep and in the box. You could put them down the nickel. Like, they just were able to throw so many disguised looks at you, where the Giants, even when their defense was, you know, doing fairly well, they don't really have the guys where they can disguise looks. Like I said, it's your basic cover one and cover three. And the only thing different about it, besides the basic way you draw it up and on a whiteboard, is they start from split field safety, and they have, you know, the safety come down to either the curl hook zone or play the flat. Like, that's really the only things they do, because I don't think they have the guys that they can trust to do those things. So, yeah, if there's one thing I regret from the Giants offseason, it's not letting Saquon Barkley walk. It's letting Xavier McKinney walk.
You know, this is very, very interesting conversation because I know the Giants have not been terrible by any stretch in terms of drafting talent, but they also haven't had the kind of really difficult decisions the Ravens have had in terms of having these heartbreaking decisions of players who have to go. Xavier McKinney matches that description exactly. So does Saquon Barkley, for that matter. You want to be in that position. You want to be picking and choosing among these heartbreaking decisions if you can be, because the other side of that is disastrous, where you have to trade a draft pick in order to sign a player to a high value contract.
Right.
And it's I don't want to belabor this, but Brian Burns kind of fits that mold, doesn't he? Because he wasn't really brought in to make the Giants great in that season, was he?
I sure hope not, because that'd be bad forecasting from the Giants. And Brian Burns has always been a player that I think has benefited from playing in the small market of Carolina, because he gets 9 to 10 sacks. He's a good player. But if you give him the benefit of the doubt versus guys that are close, he's at best the 15th best edge in the NFL, right? Okay. Which in reality, that puts him probably in the 20 to 25 range. He's a good player. He's the Giants' third best player on the roster. Do you give him $30 million per year to sign him? Absolutely. Is a second and fifth round pick good for him? Absolutely. But what I wasn't okay with was sacrificing a guy like Xavier McKinney to make that deal happen and giving up the draft capital. If it was just in a vacuum, like, hey, second and fifth and pay Burns, yes. Second and fifth, pay Burns, and then let Xavier McKinney walk and don't sign that guard in free agency, no, I wouldn't do that.
Okay. How about you pick a player on each side of the ball who you think matches up well against the Ravens? I don't do score predictions or anything like that, but just player on each side of the ball.
With what you said with the inside linebackers, I think Tyrone Tracy, the running back, does really well. Like, he really presses linebackers, makes them declare, and then cuts quickly off of them, right? Like you mentioned Devin Singletary. There's a clear difference when you see those guys. Like, Tracy has the athletic ability to get sideways and really, really press it and make you declare. Obviously, Malik Nabers, but the Ravens secondary is good. Defensively, I do like, you know, whatever Kayvon Thibodeau against Roger Rosengarten or Brian Burns, which, you know, whoever's facing Rosengarten, I do expect that chip help. But in reality, if there's one matchup that the Giants should win, it should be out on the edges.
Okay. All right, very good. Bobby, outstanding detail on this, and obviously a very difficult season for the Giants. You mentioned all these injuries. You just can't believe the next one you're mentioning as you go through this. But tell folks where they can follow you on Twitter or read your work online.
Yeah, it's on Twitter, at Bobby Skinner _. Whenever I do opposing teams fans, is you probably don't want to see all Giants stuff all year. But like most people, I try and cover the draft as well as possible, you know, put 100 to 150 write-ups on players, do videos on them. So that's that time is coming up. So that's the time to follow me from a national point of view. So at Bobby Skinner _ on Twitter.
Okay. And is there, you have a regular podcast or anything you do?
Yeah. So this is what we do, the Talking Giants podcast. Now, usually I love doing the preview pods in season because it's fun to go watch what other teams are doing. At this point in the season for the Giants, we're not really previewing the matchup, more talking about the state of the Giants. But we have a show, Football Today, on podcasts and YouTubes, or podcasts and YouTube, where we do 30 minutes on the NFL 3 times per week. Just, you know, search Football Today on the podcast apps and it should show up.
Okay. Outstanding. Bobby, thanks again for coming on. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter, and I want to hear from you about your idea for a 15 to 20 minute episode. Got to be narrow. Can't try and fix the whole passing game in that amount of time. Can't try and restructure the entire roster. We're talking about some narrow topic, but really appreciate you as listeners. As always, please introduce somebody who doesn't know about this show to a friend. I would really appreciate that. And Bobby, thanks again for coming on.
No, thank you for having me on, Ken.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Save big this holiday season.
All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.